Well, it's a battle of political wills over a possible government shutdown in the nation's new health care law. President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner squaring off again this week. Let's take a listen.
One Republican senator called shutting down the government over the Affordable Care Act the dumbest idea I've ever heard. I agree with him. I mean, I don't know. It's like they do this every 6 months, isn't it?
Our message to the United States Senate is real simple. The American people don't want the government shut down, and they don't want Obamacare. Yeah.
This latest impasse in Washington, does it all come down to a clash of personalities on Capitol Hill? Let's get right to our brain trust. Angela Rye is a political strategist and principal of Impact Strategies. And back with us, Reuters columnist David Rode and Matt Welsh, editor-in-chief at Reason Magazine. Thank you all for being here. So, Angela, I want to start with you. It was President Obama and John Boehner yesterday, the president calling the speaker and telling him that there will be no negotiation over the debt ceiling. So who's really dealing from a position of strength here?
I think the president is dealing with a position of strength in part because he's just been consistent. The only thing that Speaker Boehner has consistently done is cave to the farthest right wing of the party and have yet the 42nd vote on repealing Obamacare or incorporating that in some way, shape, or form into legislation that's not, it doesn't have a chance to go anywhere. When it gets to the Senate, Senator Reid has already said it's dead on arrival. So this is really a pointless kind of exercise.
And Matt, you know, to Angela's point, we essentially know that the Senate is going to strip that language from what they're getting. They're
right.
going to strip the whole Obamacare funding association. So then why are they doing this? What's the end game here?
Because there's a civil war within the Republican Party, and John Boehner is fighting on one side of it, and Ted Cruz in the Senate is fighting the other side, saying Republicans have to show that they're really, really, really trying to defund Obamacare. I think they're also trying to get better negotiating position on extending the debt ceiling, because Obama can't just say, it's extended. You know, he can't just declare ahead of time there will be no negotiations on this. This is sort of a pose. They actually have to come up with some kind of an agreement. Republicans think, and I think that they're wrong about this, but they think that they can get a better leveraging position by threatening other things. But I think it's going to be a public relations problem for them.
And, you know, David, the president has been pretty obstinate here, too. He said he's not going to negotiate on certain things. When it comes down to it, he will probably have to compromise on some level. Where do you think the room is there? What are the issues that he is most likely to compromise on?
I think he might compromise somewhere on the debt. There could be some cuts, some spending going on. But just back to Boehner, I mean, the president's in a better position. I think John Boehner's job is on the line here. There's 80 House Republicans that sort of held a gun to his head, and he let this deal in January pass, which raised income taxes. The president wanted that, infuriated the far right, and he's sort of given in, I think, because his speakership, you know, could be the price that he has to pay if he doesn't go through with this very extreme approach to Obamacare.
All right, if you guys could just sit tight, we're going to pick up with more on you on the other side of this break. Up next with our brain trust, thawing tensions between the U.S. and Iran, how the 34-year silence could be tested next week. That's coming up. We're back now with our brain trust, Angela Rye from Impact Strategies, Reuters columnist David Rode, and Reason Magazine's Matt Welsh. Thank you all for being here. So, Angela, I want to start with you. If it's clear right now that no one is going to benefit from a government shutdown, then why are we seeing this constant brinksmanship? In whose interests are lawmakers ultimately operating?
Well, I think that's a great question. It's clearly not the interest of the American people. I've been having this conversation ad nauseum lately because the government shutdown being tied to Obamacare, which is going to be implemented October 1st, has already been addressed by Senator Coburn, even, that this is going to have virtually no impact on the funding of the overall Obamacare policy. So what is this really about? And I'm puzzled by it because the very members who are adamantly opposed to it have this terrific health care plan. So it just doesn't make any really good sense, and they're not, certainly not benefiting their constituents, particularly those that are underserved and low income.
And David, we've seen the House GOP tie a lot to Obamacare. You know, they voted 42 times now to repeal it. Now they're tying all of the budget negotiations to Obamacare. Is there a political precedent for this? Have we seen this kind of action take place on another issue in the past?
Not that I can think of. And it sort of reflects the sort of extreme polarization of our country, the, if you will, Fox on one side and then MSNBC reality on another. And you know, I spoke about this earlier. I think the White House has to try to make sure this is implemented well, Obamacare, and continue talking about the positive parts of this bill. There is a huge part of this country, not a majority, but a large number of Republicans that, you know, see this as destroying the country. They are terrified of Obamacare. And as this sort of talk show politics dominates our political debate, this is the kind of thing that can happen. I mean, I don't think these Republicans are, you know, think they're doing something wrong. I think they really believe they're somehow saving the country from this terrible, terrible law.
Well, if you could follow up on that, because, you know, when you talk to people who live in countries with universal health care, they are completely dismayed by this. They don't understand what all the fuss is about. So if you could articulate the concerns of the right, what is it specifically that they are most concerned about that is causing them to go to such extremes to try to stop this?
It's this fear of this endlessly encroaching government. Part of the cutbacks and food stamps this week, the idea that there's just this ever-growing welfare entitlement state, that no one works anymore, that everyone is becoming more and more passive and somehow dependent on a nefarious Democratic Party that's using entitlement programs to get people to vote for it. And this is what they see in Obamacare as sort of the biggest example of big government, the thing they fear most.
And let's also acknowledge, though, that a lot of the things that President Obama promised with Obamacare have not turned out to be true. If you like your health plan, you're going to be able to keep it. Well, that's patently not true. If, you know, it's going to cost X amount, it's cost a lot more than X. And some of the predictions that those things weren't true at the time were made by these same people. Obamacare has a ceiling of popularity, and it has since its introduction, even before its introduction. That is a political reality that affected the 2010 elections. Republicans are betting that they can tap into that unpopularity for the 2014 elections. And as we start to roll out the exchanges and everything else that's happening in the next couple of weeks, we will see if that's going to be true or not.
David, let's switch gears to Iran. So we learned this week that President Obama and President Rouhani are actually pen pals, unbeknownst to all of us prior to now. And it seems that there's this charm offensive going on, which is lovely. But do you think it's really going to amount to anything in terms of our relations with Iran and any compromises that they may be willing to make?
It could, and we don't really know what's going on here. Rouhani is relatively more moderate. He's clearly, you know, better than Ahmadinejad, the past president. And the best things that could come out of this could be a deal to limit Iran's nuclear program and also get Iran's help in Syria. This chemical deal in Syria is helpful. We don't want chemical weapons to potentially fall in the hands of jihadists there, but that war continues, and Iran can help there. I think the sanctions should stay in place. Obama should start direct talks with Iran. It would be a historic thing, but to keep the sanctions in place until there's a real deal here, there's a real freeze in Iranian enrichment by Iran. But we should, I think, trust Rouhani. He claims he's a moderate, trying to outflank the conservatives in his country. Let's see if that's true.
And Angela, how likely is it that the president will have enough political backing to follow his foreign policy objectives while his domestic programs remain under fire?
Well, I think that there are some challenges with the domestic programs. In part, we've just been spending a lot of time talking about health care because people don't understand them. And we have, you know, the opposition, the GOP, taking advantage of folks' lack of understanding. But I don't think that means that he's going to lack support for a foreign policy agenda. We've seen bipartisan support for his challenges with Syria. And that, I think, will continue as he decides to see what happens with Iran and whether or not this is really just words or if the actions will also match up with the new president's words. But right now, it's just potential. He was only sworn in a little over a month ago.
All right. We will pick this conversation up after the break. Up next, President Obama has his legacy at stake in the week ahead. We'll ask the Brain Trust how he handles the coming days. Well, we're back with our Brain Trust, Angela Rye from Impact Strategies, Reuters columnist David Rode, and Reason Magazine's Matt Welsh. Thank you all for coming back. So, Matt, just quickly to touch upon Iran before we go to a different subject, what do you think is the likelihood that their new president, is going to meet with President Obama at the UN this week? And how significant would that kind of photo op of the handshake be?
I think pretty likely, pretty insignificant, ultimately. Photo ops and handshakes, we've seen a lot of them. We've seen a lot of moderate Iranian presidents in the last 30 years that had a lot of promise and it kind of fizzled. It's very difficult to do diplomacy there, especially when you lack, as America has lacked for the last 12 years at least, a very coherent overall approach to foreign policy in the Middle East. We just careen from momentary kind of crisis to you're developing weapons and we're mad about it, thing one after the other. So it's kind of difficult within that to come up with a coherent approach that is meaningful and long-lasting.
Angela, I want to turn back to domestic politics. You know, we've been talking an awful lot about a government shutdown and stripping Obamacare of funding, but is the real potential crisis the debt ceiling? Is that what we should be focusing on and the possibility of defaulting on our obligations?
I really don't believe that a debt ceiling crisis is going to happen. I think you're going to find compromise there. The harder challenge, I really believe, is the government shutdown issue, because Speaker Boehner, as we've talked about, has backed himself into a corner. So unless he's willing to go back and reconsider this when the Senate strips the provision out of the bill related to Obamacare defunding, I don't see, and then him, of course, backing out of needing a majority of the Republicans in violation of the Hastert rule, I don't see how he gets out of that. So that's the real political crisis. I really don't think we're going to have a debt ceiling challenge here. I think they're going to find a compromise.
David, I read a quote from one Republican lawmaker who said that, you know, when a coach is planning a football game, he only plans a couple of plays. He can't script out the whole game because you could never do that. And he was comparing that, of course, to what's happening now. But do they have a grand strategy? Because this certainly looks like the box keeps getting smaller and smaller in terms of good options for the GOP. Do you think there's a broader strategy here into how they can win this battle?
I think they think that they're red state Democrats. There are senators from Arkansas and Louisiana who they've named specifically that they think will somehow vote to defund Obamacare in the Senate. And they think they might somehow win in the Senate, that Ted Cruz is going to somehow rally the Republicans and a handful of Democrats. That's not going to happen. Harry Reid's going to wait as long as possible to push this measure back to the Senate without defunding Obamacare in it. What does Boehner do then? The clock will be ticking. There'll be 24 hours or so until, you know, October 1st, and he's got to blink, or the Republicans are blamed for the government shutting down.
Well, and that was actually my next question to you, Matt, is if this does come down to a government shutdown, or if we do default on our debt obligations for the first time ever, do Republicans then own this, or is there anywhere for them to share the blame?
Well, first of all, we're not going to default on our debt. That's not remotely on the table. You cannot raise the debt ceiling for the next 9 months, and we wouldn't have to default on the debt. We've done it in the past, not raise the debt ceiling. And Angela's right. This is not going to happen. If it happens, it'll happen for like 3 hours, as it did with the fiscal cliff on January 1st, and they're going to play kabuki politics up till then. The end game for the Republicans, I think, is to get a continuing resolution passed, spending, funding the government, a debt ceiling passed, and not an increase in actual spending. So more like the sequester deal. That is actually, from their long-term perspective, a bit of a victory, or at least holding the line against further spending.
But if we do, and we have very little time here, if we do end up with a government shutdown, is this going to be on their shoulders? Is the public going to view it that way?
I think the public will. The media certainly will hammer them that way. And Republicans themselves, many of them have said that it would be interpreted that way. So, yes, I think it would.
So certainly a lot of political risk in what's happening now. Thank you both for your time. And Angela, thank you as well. Angela Rye from Impact Strategies, Reuters columnist David Rode, and Reason Magazine's Matt Welsh.